Okay, if you turn with me in your Bible this morning to Romans chapter 6. If you look in Romans chapter 6, we're going to be looking at this passage on believers' baptism. The book of Romans, if you would look at the book of Romans, the first five chapters in the book of Romans talk about the Bible plan of salvation. Starting in chapter 6, we now have God's plan for sanctification, spiritual growth. That's important for us to understand that. It helps us interpret Romans 6 correctly. Romans 1 through 5, the Bible plan of salvation. Starting Romans chapter 6, we have the Bible presentation of the doctrine of sanctification, of spiritual growth. I say that because many times this chapter is misinterpreted. And, of course, if you have gone to if you've gone to a Lutheran funeral, you'll have almost every time I've been to a Lutheran funeral, this passage has been read. And has been read in conjunction with salvation. And it is used as the means of saying that you are saved by baptism. Well, it's a good way of showing that studying your Bible, not only in a specific verse, but in its context, is very important. Because we, in this part of the book of Romans, it's not talking about salvation, of how you get saved. This part of the book of Romans is talking about sanctification, how you grow. And that great truth of sanctification. It's not talking about salvation. And so, as you look at the book of Romans, the introductory question is this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And there were those that saying, okay, well, they had the wrong definition of grace. They kind of have, wrong definitions have been around for a long time. They just keep re-popping up. And the wrong definition of grace is that it's the liberty to sin. That's the wrong definition of grace. In fact, grace, the definition of God's grace is exactly the opposite. The Bible says that the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. The Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace is the supernatural ability that is found in Jesus Christ to do right. It is unmerited favor from a holy God to give to sinners not what they deserve, but what they need. And in God's grace, the Lord Jesus Christ was provided for us. And in God's grace, we have in Jesus Christ the power to live the Christian life. Now, in Romans 6, it is asking this question. So, because we're under grace, under God's unmerited favor, is that a license to sin? No! He says, God forbid. And then he goes to a fact. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How shall we that are dead to sin? Now, that's speaking of our position. If we are saved, that's talking about our position in Jesus Christ. When you get saved, Not only is there a real death that takes place in the fact that your old life is gone. And I thank the Lord that Ron Roberts, who was unsaved, died. He'll never live again. The rest of my life, I'm going to be saved. And I am saved. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, the Bible also teaches us that there was a positional truth that took place, and that we participated and we were in position in Jesus Christ. And we were dead in Christ. And now, because of Jesus Christ, we, through Him, are dead to our old nature and to our old life. And he says, well, how could we live in sin if we're dead to that life? Obviously, that means we shouldn't be living in the realm of death. We should be living in the realm of life. And now this is the context in which we find this famous passage about believers' baptism. Know ye not? Don't you remember? Don't you know this to be true? That when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, that you were baptized into His death. No, don't you know that when you were baptized into Jesus Christ? Now, we're going to stop right there because, again, we're going to deal with the technical truth, the word into. When you were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, let's put the background here. Number one, in the Bible, baptism always follows salvation. In the Bible, baptism is never a part of salvation. In the Bible, salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And baptism is only after salvation. And it is only for believers. And it is only for those who recognize the meaning of baptism. And so we could quote a few verses. The eunuch said to Philip, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, he was not talking about a jug of water he could pour it over his head. Because they had a jug of water in the chariot. Anybody traveling from Jerusalem to Ethiopia probably had some big jugs of water. Okay? Wasn't talking about a jug of water. It wasn't talking about a couple sprinkles of water. Because they could have stopped anywhere and had a baptismal service if that's what it took. You know, a couple sprinkles or a cup of water. No. As they were going along, they saw a body of water that was big enough to dip somebody, immerse them. That's what he saw. And maybe he saw a Jewish Levitical pool that was used in the Levitical washings. That was, deep enough for a person to be totally immersed. Maybe that's what they saw. We don't know. But he said he had been preaching to him about Christ and about salvation, and that salvation was through Jesus Christ, and Christ was going to be the payment of man's sin. And he read this prophecy and explained to him what Christ had done on Calvary's cross and how he could be his Savior if he chose him to be. And he did accept Christ, and he said, now that I'm saved, what would keep me from being baptized? And he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Oh, in other words, if you don't believe with all your heart, then you can't. Then you can't. And so, if you were baptized as a baby, that isn't baptism. That isn't baptism. And for those of you who believe that baptism is a part of salvation, you're in big trouble because you're not baptized. You got sprinkled, you never got baptized. you're in big trouble. Of course, the Bible doesn't say baptism has anything to do with salvation. But I'm just telling you, if you think that you got baptized by having some water dripped on your head, you didn't. That's not in the Bible anywhere. And that's not even, so that's not baptism. So you haven't been baptized. But in the Bible, when you read about baptism, what you always read with baptism is you read a very significant word that follows it. In this case, knowing not as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, what does that word "into" mean? It means identification. Identification. Baptism in the Bible is not salvation. It's not washing away sins. It is a public identification of a spiritual truth. A public identification of a spiritual truth. And here it's telling us the spiritual truth that is found in believers' baptism. It says, knowing not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, let's put this in the context. And I almost got away from the context. The context is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, no. Wait a minute. Don't you remember that when you're baptized, you identified yourself with Jesus Christ and you identified with his death and burial and resurrection? And you, when you were baptized, you were publicly declaring by believers' baptism that you had experienced a death, a burial, and a resurrection, and that you knew that, and that you were publicly proclaiming that you had died and that you are now new in Jesus Christ. How could you then go back and say, oh, I'm saved, I can live the way I want, when in your baptism you said the opposite? And don't you know that in believers' baptism, there is a moral obligation? That there is a moral obligation that you are proclaiming that you are identifying with Jesus Christ, and that you are dead, and that you are going to live that new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Well, put all those things together, and it's saying, how could you say such a foolish thing to say that, how shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Completely opposite. So we want to look at this passage of Scripture this morning and just talk a little bit about the great message, the meaning of believers' baptism, as found in Romans chapter 6. First of all, it says, knowing not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. This is obviously a summary statement, but it is a great truth. Knowing not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. A public identification with Jesus Christ. That it is. Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. In fact, I want all the world to know that I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I want all the world to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want all the world to know that He means everything to me, and I'm not ashamed to bear His stigma or to bear His shame, but will gladly and am gladly declaring Him as my Savior and my allegiance to Him. Baptized into Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says this in John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to bear his reproach. I'm not ashamed to be laughed at. I'm not ashamed to be mocked. I'm not ashamed to be ridiculed. He is the Savior, and he is my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of him. You know, even this day, it is amazing that such a simple thing as being dunked, immersed in water, carries a huge stigma. A stigma. Oh, that's different. Oh, really? Oh, that's kind of radical, isn't it? Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 10. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Baptism is God's appointed way to publicly declare your allegiance to Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of ways people declare their allegiance to Jesus Christ. You know, what you do on Sunday morning declares your allegiance to Jesus Christ. You know, Sunday is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And the Bible says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, what you do on Sunday declares your allegiance to Jesus Christ. You know, many businessmen, they confess their allegiance to Jesus Christ by putting a Bible on their desk. And when people come in that office, they see that Bible. And they think, this fellow's not afraid of the Bible. In fact, he's got it right on his desk. And you know what? That's a stigma. In the public realm, that stigma is, oh, that's a Bible banger. That's not a compliment. That is a word of stigma. You know, I remember my friend Paul Schwenke. This is about 40 years ago. But he was a senior in high school. And he decided, you know, in his town they didn't have a Christian school. They said, you know what? I'm tired of being a lukewarm Christian. I'm going to openly confess Jesus Christ. And so he found the biggest Bible he could find. And he decided that he would carry it to school every day on top of his books. Why? Because he wanted to confess Jesus Christ as a Savior. You know what? Baptism is really that. It's really saying, you know what? I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and I'm publicly confessing Him, and I will continue the rest of my life not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I am going to confess Him. I am going to live for Him. I am not going to be ashamed of Him. Now, if we could put it in the context of the New Testament, day of Pentecost, it was just 50 days previous that Jesus Christ was hung on the cross. And in that religious system, it is very dangerous to identify with Jesus Christ. The powers that be had the power to put you to death. And when those people, when those 3,000 people were saved and then baptized, whoa! They're saying, we're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. We're not afraid of you, religious leaders. He is our Savior. We're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of your punishment. We're not afraid of your persecution. This Jesus Christ means more to us than anything in the world. And you know what? They didn't have to make a long speech, and they didn't have the opportunity to go before the Sanhedrin and give them that speech, because all they needed to do was publicly identify with Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. And it said it all. It said it all. And that is true. Any hostile environment, you go in a Muslim world, and you go down the river, and you're baptized, publicly declaring your allegiance to Jesus Christ. Except by the grace of God, you might have a couple days to live. Because you've identified publicly with Jesus Christ. So first of all, baptism is identification with Jesus Christ Himself as your Savior, and you're not ashamed of Him. In particular, it is an identification with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice it says that we are buried with Him by baptism into death. We're baptized into His death. We're buried with Him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, of course, this is giving us the symbolism of baptism. When a person goes under the water, that's the picture of putting somebody in a grave. And you only put dead people in a grave. Just like when you have a casket here, you know, that person, they have a pillow under their head. And they're put in the grave in that sleeping position. Because when the Lord returns, they're going to get up out of that grave, aren't they? They're going to get up from that sleep. And so they're ever going to be with the Lord. And baptism is that same picture. Burial. Burying a dead man. But that dead man isn't going to stay in the grave because he has new life. He's going to raise from the dead. That is obvious why baptism can't be by sprinkling. It's obvious why baptism can't be by pouring. That it can only be by immersion, because only immersion fulfills the Bible symbolism. Now, but what about death, burial, and resurrection? Death, burial, and resurrection is of Jesus Christ, is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3 and 4. What is the basics of the gospel? It says, verse 1, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. When a person is baptized, they are identifying themselves with the gospel. What do you mean? Well, it's obviously means that Jesus Christ did die, and he was buried, and he rose again. And because of that, that is why I can be saved. And in that death, burial, and resurrection, because of it, there's been a death, burial, and resurrection in my life. In particular, it's a picture, a prophetic. It's a preaching of the gospel that Christ died and he was buried and he rose again. But in particular, it is speaking the fact that I have participated in that gospel. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And his death and his burial has been applied to my soul. And there was a death that took place when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, there was a new birth as well. I was born into the family of God and I have new life. And that's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Because everybody needs to be born again. We're all lost sinners, and we need new life. But baptism is a picture that, you know what? My old life died. And I have new life in Jesus Christ. Our candidates today will tell us the day that they called on Jesus Christ. And we're born again and got new life. They'll tell us about the very fact that they are a new creature in Jesus Christ. And in particular, in their own life, there was a death that took place. In particular, because of Jesus Christ, there was a new life that was received. Baptism. Identification with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of him. He is my Savior. Baptism. Identification with the gospel. That's how I was saved. Baptism. A public declaration. I have participated in that gospel. There has been a death that took place in my life. There has been a new life that was imparted. And positionally, it is true as well. When I was saved, now I became dead in Christ to my old man. Now in Christ, I have new life through Him. I don't have to live that way anymore. I don't have to listen to the devil. I don't have to listen to sin. I don't have to listen to the world. I don't have to be a selfish person. Because in Christ, I died. In Christ, I'm a new person. In Christ, I have new life. In Christ, I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. A public declaration of participation in the gospel. But notice also, it says in Romans 6, for we have been planted, it says in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, if Christ is my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of Him, and I participated in the gospel, I've been saved. And because of Christ, being in Christ, now I am dead in Christ, and I am alive in Christ. And I'm declaring it to be so. The Bible says now, I'm declaring my commitment to live that life. Even so, we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. How, simply put, to say, okay, you can watch me from now on. Because I have decided, because I'm saved, because I'm in Christ, because I'm dead in Christ, I have decided. And I'm publicly declaring that I am dead to the world. I am dead to sin. I am dead to self. I'm going to live the resurrection life. When a person goes underneath that water, they said, you know, this is my declaration. Because of what Christ has done for me and what I am in Christ, I'm dead to the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because of what I am in Christ, I'm not going to live for me anymore. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I'm not going to live for self. Mortify therefore the deeds of the flesh. I'm not going to listen to the flesh. I'm not going to listen to the flesh. That inward craving for pleasure and sensual satisfaction. No. I'm not going to live for the flesh. I'm going to live the resurrected life. I'm going to live the resurrected life. I'm not going to depend upon my strength. I'm going to depend on His strength. I'm going to live the resurrected life. I'm going to meet God daily in His Word and find His strength from His Word, I'm going to live the resurrected life. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to live for His purposes. I'm going to live for His plans. I'm going to bring glory to Him. I'm going to live the resurrected life. You say, you know, preacher, it sounds like you're making a lot of baptism. Yeah, I am. I am. You know why? Because the Bible does. Now, unsaved people, they get it all mixed up. The Bible makes a lot of baptism. Therefore, unsaved people say, well, it must be salvation. People who don't understand being born again, they look, the Bible talks about baptism, and everybody in the Bible is baptized. Oh boy, that must somehow do something magic in your life. Nope, doesn't. But is it significant? Yes, it is. Does the Bible expect that every born-again believer be baptized? Yes. Does God want baptism to mean what it means? Or just be something that you do? No. You see, because of the day in which we live, because we're out of the context of the New Testament, do you understand that? Do you understand that? There's never been a country in the history of the world that has had over 200 years of religious liberty without real persecution. Most everywhere in the history of the world, throughout the centuries since Christ, baptism carried with it the sure expectation of persecution, the sure possibility of death. The stigma, the reproach of our wonderful Savior. And today, because we do not really live in that world, we must take time to emphasize what baptism really is. Lest we make it a meaningless ritual. Lest people merely go through the motions without real commitment to Jesus Christ. Without real decision to bear the cross no matter what the price. Because of these things, it's important that we seek to reclaim the spirit of the New Testament Christian. To reclaim and explain the true fervor of the believer in the New Testament age. That is meant for today. And today, we take this opportunity to encourage these men who are going to be baptized to run all these truths through their minds and their hearts and to reconfirm that commitment to Jesus Christ. We take this time today to challenge those who are here who have been baptized, but somehow have forgotten what that meant when you were baptized. And have slipped into worldliness and selfishness and being ashamed of the Savior. And this is meant to be a challenge to you to repent. To repent. This message is meant to challenge any believer in Jesus Christ of really what God expects of you. Yes, you know, it is a choice. Yes, you know, you're free to make that choice. Yet, at the same time, baptism is a challenge, is a picture to God of what He expects every Christian to be. And if you are satisfied falsely that you could just live a mediocre life, baptism is kind of, whoa! It's like a shock in the system to say, you know, God expects this of every believer. And if there's something must be vitally missing in your life, if you will not rise up to the challenge to identify yourself with the person who saved you from hell and gave you new life, this is a challenge. This is what God expects of every believer. You say, you don't know what it would cost me. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what baptism means. It cost Jesus everything to die on the cross. There is nothing that even could compare to what He did for us. And lastly, the message is, a declaration of the way of salvation. It isn't by baptism. Because baptism is only for those who've been born again. Who can point to a day in their life that they saw themselves as lost and on their way to hell. And they called upon Jesus Christ and received Him as their Savior. And whoa, they became a new creature right then by the Spirit of God. And their old life was gone. And now they have new life in Jesus Christ. You know, it's sad today that the newfangled Christianity at the mega churches, it's not instantaneous conversion like the Bible. It's a long process. And you'll hear statements like, I have always been a Christian. Or they'll say, I'm learning more and more. But they can't point to a time in their life they were born again. And a person who Jesus Christ wasn't in their heart came in. And they became a new creature. Salvation is real. It is a death. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are become new. I wonder today, are you saved? Have you been born into the family of God? It's real. That's a real thing. It's a wonderful thing. The fact that we could know Jesus Christ and we could participate in His death and resurrection, what a wonderful thing. I'd like to challenge you today, right there in that pew, to take inventory of your soul. Can you point to a day in your life that you saw yourself as a lost sinner deserving to go to hell, recognizing that Jesus died for all your sins and He alone, and that He could become your Savior if you would choose Him to be your Savior? And you called upon Him. And beyond your own comprehension, the God of heaven came to live within your soul and gave you eternal life. Can you point to that day? If you can't, then you need to be saved. You need to come to Christ, because salvation is a free gift. He paid for it all. But you need to personally receive it. You need to personally receive Christ as your own Savior. And when you do, you'll get the gift of eternal life and you'll become a new creature. We're going to close the service, this part of the service. We'll be going down to the river. And there, you're going to hear Wes's testimony and Mike's testimony, how they were born again, and of their commitment to follow Jesus Christ. But I could ask this question to you today. What hinders you from being baptized? What hinders you? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to come to that place in your life as a believer that you are going to be a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, unashamed of Him, no matter what the cost? What doth hinder you to be baptized? It's a great truth, isn't it? Great question. Father, thank You for the day, the opportunity to preach the Word of God, the great message of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, is not only proclaimed through the Scriptures today, but the testimony, Lord, today, that there is a living God, that these two men will proclaim today publicly, that they have met the living God of heaven, and He has changed their lives. And they're not ashamed to identify themselves as his disciples. And so, Lord, might you be glorified in this day through this message. And I pray for that precious soul that is here today, that really they aren't ready for eternity. They don't have the assurance in their heart of eternal life. They have yet to receive that free gift through Jesus Christ. Lord, might they even today, even now, put all these things together in their soul, and might they, as a lost sinner, knowing that they deserve to go to hell because of their sin, might they turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him with all their sin as their Savior today. May you work in their hearts. We pray as well you'd work in the hearts of Christians who are in the middle of the road. Pray you'd work in our hearts as believers who have been baptized to rethink and to review, Lord, what that meant. And may we look at our lives in light of that. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not ready for eternity. And I need to turn to Jesus Christ and receive Him as my Savior, have that gift of eternal life. I'm not sure about that. My eternity, I'd like to know for sure. And God's working in my heart. I realize that I need to be saved. Would you pray for me today that God would continue in my heart, that I would come to that place where I would trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? Anyone here today, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I'm a Christian. But I've been challenged today about committing myself as a disciple of Jesus Christ and follow Him in believer's baptism. I realize it's just not a ritual. It means a whole lot. And God has spoken to me about that today. And that is the decision I need to make. And God is working in my heart about making that decision in my soul about my complete commitment to Jesus Christ. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand where you might be. Okay, amen. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, praise the Lord. I see that hand. Very significant. Okay, amen. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I'm a baptized believer. But the spirit of New Testament baptism and that commitment I made to Jesus Christ has eroded. And God is dealing with my heart today about my commitment to Jesus Christ and living the resurrected life and saying no to the world and to the flesh and to self. God has spoken to your heart today as a believer about recommitting your life to Jesus Christ as you ought. Anyone here today? Okay. Praise the Lord for that. Another? Amen. Anyone else? God has spoken to your heart. Now, Lord, we thank you for speaking to hearts today. And we thank you, Lord, for those who as well have received the biblical challenge, Lord, of what you would want in their life. And now we pray that you would continue to work and bless, Lord, now the baptism at the river in Jesus' name.